The following teleconference is recorded for Leslie Porth with Missouri Hospital Association on Wednesday, July 15th, 2020, beginning at 12 p.m. Central Time.
Good afternoon and welcome. My name is Jackie Gapps, Vice President of Safety and Preparedness with the Missouri Hospital Association. I want to welcome all of you to a call that we have pulled together on fairly short notice, so we fully respect your time and attention today, and we will keep our remarks brief and provide as much opportunity for questions or comments in an effort to provide you technical assistance as we address the rapid and abrupt migration from NHSN to teletracking. So our goals for today are to provide a little bit of background and context to the migration, and then really focus on our path forward to ensure that we have the solutions in place to assist member hospitals with what they need to migrate their data submission so that we can continue to meet federally reported requirements as well as obtain situational awareness for decision making both at the local and state level. So as we go forward, and I'll remind you of this, the star six feature will mute and unmute your lines. Also encourage if you are on speakerphone, sometimes this conference line struggles to collect your voice as you're communicating and can sometimes have trouble getting into the queue. Star zero allows you to seek operator assistance should you need it. And again, I'll provide that information as we go forward. But at this time, I'd like to turn it over to Leslie Porth.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Leslie Porth with Missouri Hospital Association. And I want to thank you for taking a few moments out of your day for this call. As you may be aware, on late Monday, with no advance notice, the White House announced an immediate change from NHSN hospital-related COVID data to a platform that your hospitals have used on occasion, teletracking, and made that change effective today. So what I want to do first and foremost is extend to you a sincere apology. We were not aware this was coming, nor were our state or many of our federal partners, to be honest. It was an unexpected change, and without appropriate time to transition from one system to another. And to be honest with you, it comes at a time that is concerning, because in Missouri, as we are seeing across many states in the country, our cases are rising in various communities, through community spread versus just specific outbreaks, and our hospitalizations are rising. So this transition at this point in time leaves us in the dark for a few days, or until we get hospitalized COVID-related data back into the new system on teletracking. And we have all hospitals, or the vast majority of hospitals, collecting these new measures, putting these data into this new system, and have secured access at the association and or our state partners at Missouri to be able to pull those files into our dashboards and our modeling so that we have situational awareness for decision making, both through hospital counts, regional profiles, and modeling estimates on what our trends look like today and going forward in the subsequent and following weeks. So it is very concerning from an advocacy standpoint. We have taken measures in the last 36 hours to request and see if there's any recourse and any ability to reverse this decision. It does not appear that there is. So with that, we extend to you an apology, because so many of you have... Oh, and I want to take this opportunity. Missouri has been recognized at the federal level with our federal regional partners, Dr. Catherine Satterwhite, specifically out of Region 7, our state partners, for the exceptional job we have done in collecting NHSN data. We actually, our last federal report that we saw on Monday, our hospitals, you, were at 99.3% of all data was being submitted into NHSN. We had worked tirelessly. You had worked tirelessly. Many of you had automated the processes so that we had strong, complete, correct data, as real as you can have, or as accurate as you can have in a real-time unfolding situation, to be able to inform our operations and our models. We've lost that. And so we are beyond frustrated. We apologize to you because of all the work that you've done going into NHSN and now having to transition to a different platform. So with that, I will turn it back over to Jackie. She's going to talk more about the teletracking system as well as an interim solution that we are taking in Missouri so that we are not completely without information as we make this transition. Jackie, thank you for a couple of minutes to speak, and with that, I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you, Leslie. So I certainly share Leslie's apologies to all of you. I personally know how hard all of you and your teams have worked. I share your frustration, if it's there. And again, to Leslie's point on our compliance, I just want to thank you for all you have done. It has been an incredible evolution over the last 3 to 4 months of collecting data. And I can say personally, I am so proud of what the healthcare systems in Missouri have done to inform these decisions. So again, despite efforts to try to reverse those situations and looking at all viable paths, our path forward is teletracking. So what I want to do today is make sure I provide as much insight and guidance to you to provide that technical assistance so that we can be successful. I do want to pause for just a moment and make sure that everybody's aware that one of the strong perks of the NHSN platform was that hospitals were meeting federal reporting requirements while conferring rights to HIDE, or our data institute at MHA, that allowed for basically shared data in only one submission. So I want you to know that we're working very closely behind the scenes right now to create that same opportunity with teletracking. So as hospitals pivot to teletracking, it is our hope and intent, and we really won't stop until it occurs, that we will pull that data down from teletracking or other federal platforms that it will feed to, again, as Leslie said, restore the data integrity and that picture that we're presenting in Missouri with your data without asking you to duplicate reports. Now, with that said, just in the short term, and I want to talk about this first, and then, again, we'll pivot to teletracking. We made the determination, and we strongly encourage and hope that you will meet this request. We've activated a very time-sensitive, short, small query in EM Resource in an effort to, number one, inform our real-time decision-making and awareness of the impact of COVID in Missouri, and two, to inform the model that's developed out of Washington University. So we're using EM Resource in the short term. You would have seen it was, as we shared in the email that announced this phone call, we launched a first query today at 8 a.m. There are 6 measures that we're asking. 4 of them are related to hospitalizations, 2 related to COVID hospitalizations, and 2 are related to ICU capacity. And again, this gives us a little bit of insight. We can monitor impact and provide the necessary resources to regions in this data gap that we are now experiencing. I think it's important to note that we've been very articulate in pulling the teletracking definitions into that EM Resource query. So anything that you're pulling now to go to teletracking can be copied right over and submitted into EM Resource. We match those definitions intentionally. As soon as we can show that Missouri hospitals are reporting into teletracking, we will suspend that EM Resource query immediately. So know that we do not want you duplicate reporting, but we do want to provide that insight for the foreseeable maybe week or 10 days. So the primary message with teletracking and what we continue to hear loud and clear from HHS and the White House is accurate daily reporting into teletracking. And just to add an additional layer of complexity, in addition to pivoting to this platform predominantly, the White House and HHS have refined the measures and added new measures. And so that's what we want to spend a little bit of time doing today, is making sure that you have an opportunity to see those measures, review them, and then go to work on modifying those platforms to pull that data. It is important to recognize teletracking, as Leslie said, was initially more apparent to hospitals with a request for data to distribute CARES Act relief funds as well as allocate remdesivir. So there are a variety of individuals in your facility that might have access to that portal. You can gain additional access. It's my understanding that most infection preventionists and clinical staff do not have access to teletracking, and it's been more predominantly managed at the operations level. So we do have a phone number, and I will provide it to you, and all of this is available, and we're populating our website as we speak with all of this information. But the teletracking technical support line is 1-877-570-6903, and I'll repeat that a little bit later on just to reiterate that. So if you do not have access, you can call and find out who does from your facility and also seek getting additional access. So I've already talked to 4 or 5 members this morning, and they've had success in doing that. I would also mention, again, we talked about those one-off teletracking requests that were used for remdesivir and CARES Act funding. Those will be suspended, so there will be no more Monday evening requirements for a specific remdesivir allocation. There's an expectation that all hospitals will report data into teletracking on a daily basis, and that will inform the decisions that are needed to be made. Probably the most important item to stress today on this call is that as you know, the commercially available remdesivir is being made available this week. And HHS has announced that data submitted into teletracking today by 9 p.m. will inform this remdesivir allocation. And because of this time-sensitive transition, HHS is only asking for 7 measures. Again, I included that in the email that announced this phone call, but I'm going to walk through those with you. First of all, these are the 7 measures that are requested today. I want to be clear on that. These are not the same measures that are in EM Resource. These are 7 specific measures, and I'll walk through those for you. The first is the previous day's new adult admission for confirmed COVID-19, the previous day's new adult admissions for suspected COVID-19, total adults hospitalized for COVID-19, suspected and confirmed, total hospitalized for COVID-19, confirmed only, and then total adults in the ICU with COVID-19, both suspected and confirmed, and then again, that subset of confirmed only. So again, they are looking for predominantly adult hospitalizations and admissions, and specifically the number of those adults in the ICU. They're also asking for the number of remdesivir doses on hand that you have. And then that information will inform, again, the allocation of the commercially available remdesivir for purchase. So if you get nothing else out of this phone call, I believe the immediate action is to produce accurate data on those 7 measures and get those into teletracking today by 9 p.m., even if that means that you have to identify that chief operating officer or CFO that has access to the system. Really want to ensure Missouri receives an allocation for remdesivir So that would be our urgent time-sensitive ask for you. Okay, so from there, what we will do is once we've met that time-sensitive Wednesday request, we're going to continue to work with you to provide technical assistance, help you understand and answer the questions, look at the new definitions for the data measures, so that over the course of the next week, we can see this critical data being transferred from your data sets into teletracking. So again, HHS is really stressing a daily basis, whereas NHSN provided a little bit more leniency, and we at the association asked for consistent daily reporting. HHS is as well. Hospitals related to capacity and patient capacity for COVID-19, hospitals to report that include, and I'm just going to walk through these because we have had questions if some specialty hospitals needed to meet these requirements. So I'm now in the FAQ document that was sent out with the email notice and also has been widely distributed through many of our alerts. It's also on our COVID-19 website. So if for some reason you do not have access to it, you can secure it at mhanet.com. To the COVID website, and then right under latest updates, there's a large bold notice with a hyperlink, and that's the FAQs, and it really walks through pretty articulately what needs to occur. I do want to stress that all hospitals, to include critical access, children's hospitals, all acute trauma and teaching hospitals, long-term acute care, military, oncology, orthopedic, pediatric long-term, acute care, psychiatric, rehabilitation, veterans, women's, and women's and children's hospitals. So we anticipate all hospitals should be making these attempts to submit this data on a daily basis. Again, related to capacity and utilization, really encourage you to look closely at the definitions as they've been formatted. Our infection preventionists do this exceptionally well. We work closely with them on NHSN. It is certainly frustrating that they have modified the subsets. They are doing a little bit more work in breaking out adult versus pediatric, which we have not done historically. So for some, that might be very simple. For others that care for both populations, there will be a little bit of work required to break out that measure. Unless specified for a specific time in the measure, such as a previous day, the hospital cannot select a time of day that is convenient for you to report. Certainly, we've recognized and we think there's great cadence things for the data by 2 p.m. We have found that some of our larger systems that have some manual data extraction that needs to occur in the morning can meet that 2 p.m. deadline. As we go forward, we'd love to be able to restore the cadence that we've had historically. So if you would be willing to consider, strongly would ask that you work to submit that data daily by 2 p.m. There has been some data that, as I understand, we haven't had the opportunity to use teletracking like we're able to use NHSN as a test user. So I can't speak to all of this, but we're working to gain access to the platform so that we can troubleshoot with you. There is hospital information separated out into 6 fields. I believe once that is populated, it remains populated, and we're working to test that just so that we can provide that information to you. Again, there's hospital bed data, just as we've collected bed data historically in NHSN. Mm-hmm. However, again, those subsets do look a little bit different. So they are asking for total beds, and they're asking for total inpatient beds, but then they're asking for the subset of adult capacity for each of those. And for those of you following along, I'm working through these requirements. I'm on page 3 of the larger FAQ. There's also then looking at what your occupancy is for inpatient, right? So that's going to give us what your capacity is. Again, they break out a subset by adult only. Number 5 talks about total ICU beds. Now, ICU beds should be included in your total beds, in your total inpatient beds that I referenced prior, but they also want that broken out. And then they ask for the ICU bed occupancy, again, so we can look at capacity and capability of the healthcare system. Both of those, again, have subsets for adults only. The mechanical ventilators, and those mechanical ventilators in use, appear at first glance to be verbatim of what was being reported in NHSN. So then going forward, there is a focus, again, on that hospitalized patient, and they break these out specifically, adult and pediatric. So they aren't subsets within one. They are actually two separate measures. And then subsets of those would be if the individual is confirmed positive. So those hospitalization numbers, again, will be suspected or confirmed, so that broader number. And then a subset of that would be a more specific if the patient has been confirmed positive. And what I would share with you is that is a critical measure for Washington University as they inform those models. We've been able, with such strong reporting through NHSN, to transition the models to confirmed cases only. Earlier on in the response, without that measure in NHSN, we were creating an algorithm to figure it out. Our data curves have become much more accurate based on that. So strongly encourage you to prioritize capturing the confirmed positive hospitalizations. There are then specific questions, and I certainly don't want to read each one of these to you. We do capture hospitalized and ventilated. That is a broader number. There are no subsets. Hospital onset, the ED overflow, and then now I'm on page 5, number 16, previous day's death. So whereas I talked earlier about no specific time frame, if you were reporting on a Tuesday, the previous day death is you should be capturing from that Monday prior. There are also, this is a quite extensive data ask. So there are previous days adults admissions and then previous days pediatric admissions. And then they've asked you to break those down by age bracket. And I anticipate that if you haven't already extrapolated that and are monitoring it at your health system, that will take a bit of work to build that data measure out. So I just want to draw your attention to that. Again, that's on page 5, and it's number 17. There are a reference to the previous day's total emergency department visits, not specific to COVID-19, and then the previous day's total COVID-19-related ED visits. So those are two separate measures. Then they transition a little bit more into operational supply, the previous day's quantity of remdesivir used, and then the current remaining inventory of remdesivir. Now, they do provide a specific time frame on that definition that says enter the number of remdesivir vials in inventory at 11:59 on the previous calendar day in the hospital's pharmacy. There are two questions related to critical staffing shortages and then a staffing shortage detail. And then transitioning into PPE, looking at if your PPE supply items are managed at the facility level or if you're part of a health system at the health system level. So that's a new measure. Many of the specific supply items that are asked in 27 and 28 are very specific to what we've been capturing from a PPE supply. And then there is a question about if you're able to obtain the items and are you able to maintain at least a 3-day supply. So now something unique about this as I walk through this, NHSN has 3 modules. And as I understand it, a lot of times individual staff were parsed out to those modules based on their area of expertise and workflow. This is all one module within teletracking. So there probably will be some coordination necessary among those disciplines to gather the data at a certain time so that it can be submitted. And then there is a last question about reusable or launderable isolation gowns. That's a new measure. So again, as you capture this data, it is our approach in Missouri that it gets submitted into teletracking, and then we are working very closely to be able to pull that data down through several federal platforms back into both the state of Missouri and MHA and our data institute. There is one section of this FAQ around testing data, but I found it interesting. It says a separate link will be sent to hospitals to support and submit this data. So I have a question into the HHS Protect and the teletracking support desk to ensure that we fully understand what is being captured. We know that hospitals with labs are submitting data to the Department of Health. So I'm working to identify if this is something that can be streamlined and that can be submitted, or if we're looking at something else. So I ask that you stand by, and we'll continue to promote any in-house laboratory test reporting requirements to those targeted individuals, and potentially host a second call should we need to as we dive into that. So I'm going to pause for a moment. *6 will unmute your line, and would like to see if there are any questions, if we've missed anything critical, or if there's any additional technical support that we could focus on to assist you at this point.
This is Jackie.
Okay, we got a couple. So I will pause. I'll have someone, if you want to try that again, and then we'll make sure we get everybody in the queue.
Hey, Jackie. It's Tom Jones.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Quick question for you, and you, I think you might have answered it. Sorry, go ahead.
Hello? Oh. Yeah.
Let's
have Tom.
So my question to you is that I saw where you mentioned that they should be sending us a link. You know, when we log into the teletracking system, we already have the other report to add a new entry. However, it doesn't match with the seven items we need to be documenting on there. So just wanted to clarify that. Are we expecting to receive a new entry form into Teletrack, or is just continue submitting as we have been with the remdesivir, which is it's the exact same reporting process right now?
Okay, so that's fascinating. So what we have been told is that hospitals that have been accessing teletracking for remdesivir will follow the exact same process, use the same portal, and that these would be available. So if I'm hearing you correctly, the seven that I've outlined have not been updated?
They have not been updated in the guidelines that you provided. They're exactly what they were when we were testing to remdesivir and PPE. And so that's kind of what I just want to make sure that I don't want to we'll go ahead and submit this for the day, but I just wanted to make sure that there is a process or somebody at teletracking is planning on a report that we can click and download the CVS template, CSV file template, and then be able to upload that.
Correct. Okay, so I will take that, and I'm going to make a phone call following this call to confirm, and I would certainly open it up to any other hospitals maybe that have had success in a different path in finding the full data set that we've referred to. So in my understanding is, yes, those seven items that I mentioned to you need to be submitted today, but everybody should be having access to everything I just walked through to include testing data. So that's very concerning to me, and we will follow up on that immediately.
Okay. Thank you. Some of it there, but it's not all in that laid out. You know, I expected when I logged in today to see the 32 data sets that we need to be documenting on going forward, and you lined out the seven we must do, but they're kind of not really worded the same way. So,
okay.
later I can get with you on the site if you want.
No, that's really insightful. I will see what I can find. I'm hopeful someone else on the phone maybe even have resolved that, but that is not our understanding. We were told you would see it.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, Jackie. This is Julie Noah from Northeast Regional Missouri, and I'm on the teletracking, and I see the same thing. It has not been updated. Just to reconfirm. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie.
Rogers at St. Luke's in Kansas City, and it's not in there in teletracking.
Okay.
Jackie, this is Paulette at High County. I don't have the teletracking. Maybe somebody else here does, but I did all the NHSN.
Understood. And Paulette, can you say your name again?
Paulette Pelson at Pike County.
Oh, Paulette. Understood. Okay, so what I will do is I'll read that phone number off to you in a moment, but we can certainly work. Okay.
I could call that.
You also might just send a quick note internally. Someone may be familiar with it, and that would save you running through the support desk. Okay. Now, on the other items that those three individuals that step forward to confirm, that is obviously a critical major issue. So what I will plan to do is at the conclusion of this call, I'll make a phone call to our HHS Region 7 partners, and then we will send something out pretty robustly to when we find resolution on that.
Hi, this is Carol from St. Louis University Hospital. I logged out and logged back in, and I can see new fields. So they're updating it. So they may have to log out and log back in.
Oh, thank you, Carol.
You're welcome.
This is Marie from Cedar County.
Hi, Marie.
Hi. I don't know if I'm not the I got the email, the reason that I'm on this conference call, but I have not been doing any teletracking. I don't know what teletracking we're talking about. Remdesivir, we haven't used any of that, and we haven't had any admissions with positive COVID. So does this not apply to me, or I'm just not quite understanding where I fit into this?
Right. So it does apply to all hospitals, as I outlined, to include psychiatric and rehab. Certainly understand the remdesivir piece if you don't have those patients. But what we anticipate and what we continue to be told is that all resources federally will be allocated based on this information. Someone from your organization likely has accessed the teletracking platform, potentially for the CARES Act justification funding.
I can certainly
work with you offline and make sure to get you connected.
Okay. I'm wondering, would it possibly be under the county health, Janine Ehlers, the community services manager? I'm wondering if she would have that information probably.
I'm not certain. I've wrote your name down, and I will follow up with you.
Okay. Will you call? You'll call me or either email me one way or the other.
Yep.
Okay. So on this call, I might as well just excuse myself because I really don't know what I'm doing right now. So I'll wait until I hear from you. Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'll listen for more information, but I'll get off of the voice part.
Oh, understood. No, I appreciate you bringing that to our attention.
Okay, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Jackie, this is Kathy Metzinger at Northwest Missouri Psychiatric Rehabilitation Center in St. Joseph, Missouri. And you had said for the next 10 days or so to use the EM resource, but if we're already in teletracking, which I just got into this morning, and I did update my data, can we just use that and not use EM resource, or are you wanting us to use both right now?
I would be happy to give you access to EM resource if you would be willing. I know you haven't had a significant number of hospitalizations, so I certainly don't want to overburden you. But one of the reasons we're using mResource is because we do not have great, we haven't fully validated that we can pull that data set down.
Okay.
So we would not see your data.
Okay.
And just as a shameless plug, I would welcome the opportunity to plug you into mResource just from a regional perspective so you have visibility. So you might find it worthwhile in other venues. So I will.
So as you're giving me a nervous twitch, go ahead and do that.
What I would ask is, to the extent you could, that would be wonderful. I'm going to ask one of my staff to follow up with you,
okay,
just so you have more familiarity with the platform.
Great.
And would just ask that you do your best, but we certainly won't bang down your door if it doesn't happen.
So my other question, and this one's kind of difficult, is you want 7 days a week. So I'm the infection preventionist. I am the primary reporter. It's not that I don't have backup, but I don't have backup for weekends. Everyone who is my backup is a Monday through Friday. With NHSN, it was very easy for me to get online at home and enter my data daily, so I never missed a day. But it is more difficult with teletracking because there was no way I could get my authentication to go into my cell phone. It had to be my work phone for whatever reason, and I couldn't get anybody to answer or help me do it differently on the technical support site.
I understand.
So, then I then have to come in, or myself or one of my administrators have to come in every Saturday and Sunday and log in so that we get the authentication through our phone before we can go any further on data entry. Is that going to change?
You know, I'm happy to bring that forward, knowing that they have pushed for this daily reporting. And I do know that some hospitals elected to either report remotely through NHSN on the weekends or backfill some of their data on Monday morning early, and it really still allowed for solid data integrity. What I would share, and I hate to be the messenger on this, is the message coming from the White House is very firm and with very limited space for interpretation, that they expect daily reports. So I let me see about the authentication to see if we can create some remedies to those challenges you've raised. I think that's an appropriate ask.
Great. Okay, I'm off. Thank you, Jackie, very much.
Thank you. Thanks for all you're doing.
This is Angie Kaysen from Truman Medical Centers. I have two questions. First question is, there are, on the actual teletracking, there are a bunch of other medications that are listed that they're asking for updates on, like fentanyl, propranolol. Are we required to submit that information?
You know, I've reviewed everything that I had access to, and I did not see that. So based on their FAQs, let me think.
So when you pull up teletracking, you can actually go in and manually enter it versus uploading a report.
Right.
And historically, I've manually entered it because it was so few data points. So when you go into that and it populates, there are 8 additional medications in there.
That is
okay.
True.
I'd like to follow up on that. I don't want to tell you wrong,
okay,
or lead you astray.
It's in the ventilator section, so if you just go there, you'll see it. The other question I had is, in the language of the document that was sent out, it said that we would need to break it out by cohorts for admissions and ICU, but when you go into that same prompt that I'm just talked about the medications, there's no option to select the age cohorts.
I anticipate that's going to be updated.
Okay.
As HHS was outlining this for us on Monday afternoon, and I know Leslie can attest to this, they were saying they were, as they were speaking, they were updating the data and that they were expecting it to be modified over the week. So I would base your programming and your data collection and your strategy around the FAQ, knowing that it's coming, rather than build the system and have to modify it. Leslie, would you agree with that? for me to put her on the spot.
This is Tracy Rogers again from St. Luke's in Kansas City. Around the information that's required, if you look at the, when you're in teletracking, if you look over to the right above where it says ED overflow, there's a star that says denotes required fields. And so throughout those data entry points, some of them are required and some of them are not.
Yeah, but like all the bed capacity, none of that is asterisked or starred. Nothing's starred, really, like admissions or anything like that.
It's kind of hard to see. It's down where, like under total hospitalized, it says confirmed or suspected. That's where the stars are located. They're not.
Yeah,
they're not that often. But those.
Yeah, I know. But I just the ones that are in the fax, none of those are starred.
Yeah.
So like previous day's admission. So I'm assuming that will be updated. But even the lab testing, none of that's in there yet. Only how many kits do you have on hand?
Yeah. But those medications she was referring to, those are not starred as being required in teletracking.
Okay.
And Jackie, this is Leslie. Yes, I agree with what you said.
Okay, thanks, Laura. Okay, are there any other questions? Star 6.
Hey, this is Jennifer at Western Missouri Medical Center. I have some questions about the ventilator numbers, and I don't normally report anything for our organization, but when they asked us to report our ventilators, our portable and transport vents, and our anesthesia machines, you know, our portable vents are not designed to sustain a patient long term. What effect will that have on our ability to get ventilators from the national stockpile if we need it? I mean, if I'm reporting my two transport vents that are truly designed for very short-term use, you know, for a CT scan or transporting the patient from the ED to the ICU, is that going to affect our ability when I truly need a real ventilator to get one from the strategic stockpile?
So this is just Jackie speaking. I don't want to speak to the process for allocating ventilators that Missouri maintains out of the strategic national stockpile. I would report based on the definition for accuracy and knowing, and no, I do not believe this data would stop that. So let's say you had two transport ventilators, but you, and then we proceeded and, you know, they weren't in use, or maybe at that time because it was a critical situation, they were in use. I believe there are opportunities for qualitative discussions around resource needs. So I would encourage you to report it accurately so that we have a good assessment of what is out there. And then I feel generally comfortable saying that this data alone is not going to be the only thing that would inform that decision.
Okay, but I think including your transport vents and your anesthesia machines is really making your picture inaccurate.
I would agree with you.
Okay,
I think what I would potentially say is if we got to a position, our mechanical ventilator counts have been very solid through the response, plus knowing that we have a supply on hand at the state. If we were to get to a point where mechanical ventilator percentages were dropping drastically lower, I could anticipate a deeper dive into those that equipment so we could really get a handle on those things, and I think we would draw attention to it at that point.
Okay.
Thanks. That was a good question.
Jackie, this is Mike Sayer calling from Children's Mercy in Kansas City.
Hi, Mike.
I've got several questions for you. I think one of the biggest questions I have is what are we considering in adult patients?
I had the exact same question because they did not specify.
I'm guessing, you know, based on question 17 that maybe it's 20 and above, but I don't know that for sure. The second thing I had a question about is in regards to EM resource. So we don't have an adult ICU. Is that what the question's intending? Or are we to report the NICU and the PICU beds in that?
Yes, so what we saw that comment, and I we want to do is we want to capture total ICU. So we do want you to put your ICUs in there, and we will specify that.
Okay.
So we apologize.
And then one more flip back to teletracking. So we have a PICU and a NICU. We don't have an adult ICU, but we're caring for patients up to age 28 as part of our agreement with the states to handle COVID surge. So what we will potentially have is no adult ICU beds, but adult ICU patients. Are you following me?
I am. I think if you don't mind, because it's such a articulate question, let's take that offline.
Okay.
So we can work the best way to report that. It's an excellent point. And then on the age, we've done a lot of pediatric preparedness work over the last several years, and what we've learned is every hospital defines it a little bit differently. And I think for purposes of each individual's organization's data integrity, I think we should use the definition that you have on hand individually, right? So it may vary, but I think putting an artificial number out is really unfortunate.
I don't know that I'm comfortable with that, though. I mean, you could say that a 40-year-old is a kid.
Right.
You know, I
okay. Yeah, let's
okay.
work on those.
We'll talk
two,
about
right?
it offline.
Absolutely. I'll follow up with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have any other questions? I might ask for the few individuals that spoke up at the onset that said they didn't have access. Curious if you've refreshed and if you're seeing any data updates.
Jackie, this is Russ Conroy from Mercy.
Hi, Russ.
Hey, a quick follow-up to your clarifying on the EM resource that you want all ICU beds and NICU, PICU, burn, everybody in those. Do you want us to go back and change our data that we entered this morning, or would you like us to not change data at this point?
No, you don't need to change it.
Thank you, ma'am.
Jackie, this is Julie Noah from Northeast Regional Medical Center in Kirksville. And, yes, I did refresh, and the questions were updated per others' report.
Excellent. I guess this was a timely call that occurred during it. That's good to know. I still have a couple things I want to follow up directly with teletracking. What I'm proposing, we have about 10 minutes left. I certainly want to make sure that we've addressed any questions that are raised. We have a team of probably about 12 that are focused on this around the clock. So this will certainly not be the last phone call. What I'm proposing as we work through it and learn more about the platform, we will likely either amend the FAQ that has been produced or potentially create our own. And then to the extent necessary, we'll create a recurring call to provide technical assistance, or certainly you can just reach out to us directly. We're available to you really around the clock as you need it, as you're working to submit this data. I know Leslie articulated this in the beginning, but we fully recognize what a incredible pivot and burden it is to the healthcare providers that are doing the work of caring for these patients. So we really applaud your positive attitude and trying to make this right. And we'll do everything we can to generate great data to inform your decisions and actions as we go forward. I think what I would do is, again, just as a reminder, MHA produces Tuesdays and Thursdays a COVID newsletter that most, if not all of you, are likely receiving. Certainly email me or anyone at the association if you want to be added to that. We will certainly use that platform to communicate anything we learn about this. And then send targeted emails as appropriate. Certainly don't want to overwhelm your inboxes. I don't believe we said this, but today we will be producing our regional dashboards from the data collected through NHSN, and then we will suspend those as well as our daily snapshot. until we can restore that data. At this point, we have not fully determined what we will do with the EM resource data we're collecting besides have that situational awareness and inform the model. But if it is complete enough, we will certainly share it as appropriate. We're just kind of working through our first day of data collection on that to see where we lie. But what I would encourage you to do is check our website as well as our Tuesday and Thursday newsletter for consistent communication on all things teletracking. And then to the extent we glean that there needs to be additional technical assistance or convenings, we will schedule calls going forward.
Jackie?
Yes.
This is Caroline.
Hi, Caroline.
So I'm just confirming, so the data that we supply now through teletracking does not count as data going to our state, correct?
That is correct, but if you're submitting to teletrack, you're meeting your requirement. So without going into a lot of detail, what I will explain is some states are collecting the data directly. So EM Resource, for example, could potentially collect all the data. There are about 100 measures, and we anticipate that it would be about 5 event queries that would be activated to fully meet these requirements. And that would be for the foreseeable future, have 5 banners running across the top of our screen as we go into flooding and tornado and hurricane and, you know, baseball and football season.
Sounds delightful.
Some states are collecting data and then submitting it to teletracking directly or to the federal partners. And that's some associations at some state departments of health. I know one state that is collecting a SurveyMonkey daily, submitting it to the federal partner. Because of what we believe will be the opportunity for our data institute to secure real-time access to the data feed, we think it's best for our hospitals to submit to the White House-directed source and then have us pull that data down in a more effective way. So you will see reference in the FAQs to you have 2 options. It used to be 3 options. NHSN is now no longer an option. You'll see teletracking and that state-supplied data. Missouri's approach is to direct hospitals directly to that identified federal platform, and then work on the back end to pull the data down. Did that answer your question, Carolyn?
Yeah, so as long as we're submitting that data, we're meeting our requirements.
Absolutely. And my goal, I've worked closely with Dr. Catherine Satterwhite at the HHS Region 7 office. We received a certification that our hospitals had met the requirements of the original data ask by submitting to NHSN. It's my intent to secure a letter from her when we get back to critical mass and teletracking so that you'll have that for your documentation.
Excellent. Thank you, Jackie.
Hi, Jackie. This is Mary Burton from BJC.
Hi, Mary.
And, I have a question that might not be appropriate to ask here, but we have 3 hospitals in Illinois. And I've not seen anything from Illinois Hospital Association yet on the reporting, so I went ahead and entered those 3 hospitals in HHS teletracking to make sure that the data got in today.
Excellent.
So
thank you for doing that.
Do you think there's any conflict if they decide to go with the state reporting?
No, I would not think so. I have a colleague at Illinois. I will call and figure out what their data strategy is and close the loop with you.
Oh, that'd be great. And then just a comment to the rest. When I was entering the data, I noticed on there's deaths, and it's not in their FAQs, but you need to also have the total number of deaths since January 1st, 2020, and then update those on a daily basis, or that question will error out. It's almost like a numerator and denominator, and you have to have both fields entered.
Thank you.
Not on a previous day's death. That'll take a single value. But on the total deaths, you have to have 2 sets of information to answer that question.
I appreciate that. I will add that to I haven't named the document yet, but whatever we create to provide clarification or technical assistance, we will add that. That's good to know.
Okay. And do you need these screenshots of the data entry?
We're trying to secure access in the interim.
Okay.
I might reach out to you or anyone else that's willing to potentially get a little bit better visibility into it. That'd be great.
Yeah, I think I can just left these in a PowerPoint and send them to you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Are there any other questions or comments?
Hi, Jackie. This is Jordan Hannon from Boone Hospital. Can you repeat the teletracking number again?
Sure. Give me one moment. Okay, it's 1-877-570-6903.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jackie, exactly who is Teletracking HHS? Is that a federally funded organization that is collecting the data? Is it I know NHSN was under the CDC. I don't know who Teletracking is funded.
My understanding from everything I know, unless something has occurred in the last 96 hours or so, is that Teletracking is a proprietary company, a data company that has taken an active role in federal COVID-19 response.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, you're welcome. Leslie, as I begin to wind down the call, I'll just pause. I don't know if there's anything else that you want to add to this as we go forward. And then, again, I would just reiterate all those participants in today's call, the association, the Hospital Data Institute stands ready to support. Please reach out if there's any questions. And as we glean more insight into your active data submission, we'll certainly share those best practices and then, again, hope to restore those feeds as soon as possible.
So, yeah, this is Leslie. Thanks, Jackie. I just want to take this opportunity once again to apologize to all of you for this sudden shift, to thank you for your patience and your perseverance to be resilient in the data challenges and the data journey of this COVID response. And then finally, I just want to thank Jackie for her extraordinary leadership, not only on all things data related to COVID, but the COVID response in general. She just has done a phenomenal job for MHA, representing hospitals across the state and nationally, really demonstrating Missouri as an exemplar practice. Large part because of her leadership. Thank you very much, Jackie.
Thanks, Leslie. Okay, well, we are at the top of the hour. Robust conversation. Again, we're learning along with you, and you've provided us some great insight. We will dig into these. Several of you can expect outreach from our team. Again, please prioritize that 7-measure submission today to the extent that you're able. And we will continue to support you as you go forward on this. So, again, thanks for all you're doing, and stay well. I'm going to adjourn the call. Thank you.